This is Messenger Insight, a podcast program brought to you by Oklahoma Baptist and the Baptist Messenger.
Welcome to the Insight Podcast. I'm Chris Forbes. Today, we're talking with Mark Custolo, pastor of Glorieta Baptist Church here in Oklahoma City. And we're going to be talking to him about Native American ministry in the urban context, as well as other things that are going on in his life. Appreciate you for joining us today, Mark.
Thanks, Chris. Enjoyed being here.
Well, you're kind of new to Oklahoma. I mean, you've come before and served in a lot of capacities, and a lot of folks know you. But for those who may not know you, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your family and
Absolutely.
How you got called to Oklahoma?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, Mark Custolo, I'm married to my wife, Ann. Been married for 33 years this summer. We have two children, a daughter who's married with two kids living back in Virginia. What grandparent leaves their grandchildren? We just did that.
Oh.
but we did so, and we're a little bit closer to our son, who's a Marine.
Yeah.
And currently he's stationed out in Yuma, Arizona. And he's got three children, and his wife. So we got a little closer to those three, a little further away from the two.
Right. But we kind of meet in the middle now.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So that's my family.
Yeah.
Grew up in Richmond, Virginia. Have been in ministry now for 33 years this year. Didn't think I would do anything other than pastor. God called me to be a shepherd, gave me a shepherding skill set. I came out of seminary back in 91 and went out to Montana, replanted a church on the Crow Indian Reservation. In fact, just left a disciple mentoring time with a gentleman here who is currently living there in that same community. So we were sharing about what does it look like to live a life of a follower of Jesus in the middle of that reservation community.
Yeah.
So we spent several years there in Montana. I entered denominational work when I was in Montana. I pastored two churches there. And then I entered denominational work in Montana. I was the language missionary for Montana Convention. Did church strengthening, church planting there. We had seven reservations. I think we had 9 or 10 Indian churches, and I had responsibility with them. I went from there to be a national missionary for Native American work for Southern Baptist, working with the North American Mission Board for a number of years.
Right.
That's when I was traversing through Oklahoma several times.
Yeah.
And had great relationships with some of your leading Native pastors and missionaries in the area, many of who are heroes in faith and are no longer with us. I'm out working out in the Cheyenne and Arapaho area as an outreach from Glorieta, and that's where Max Malone was for so many years. And so appreciate and love him. Love being here with Jimmy Anderson, who was the national missionary before me. Boy, I'm looking forward to getting to see Jimmy here soon. I left national missionary work and working with the North American Mission Board in 2006, went back to my home state of Virginia. Worked for the Southern Baptist Convention of Virginia for 15 years. I was their church planting director for 11 of those years.
Yeah.
And back in 2018, God revived a vision that he gave me when I was a national missionary. Back when I was a national missionary, as I was traversing all of Native America, I saw spiritual realities, saw things to celebrate. I saw some spiritual legacy and remnants of that, but I also saw great need. God gave me a vision in those years for what it would look like to see spiritual awakening sweep this country yet again.
Yeah.
And for that to start in America's host people, Native Americans.
Yeah.
God has placed so much spirituality in the worldview and in the makeup and the culture of Native people. Right now, Satan is using that predisposition that God gave to enslave Native people in spiritual warfare. And I see so many symptoms of that. Chris, after hundreds of years of evangelization, most Native people have yet to come to know who Jesus is and follow him as Savior and as Lord. And we are a growing people, 6.2 million Native people in the U.S. today, and that's not including the First Nations people in Canada. Most of those not followers of Jesus yet. And most of those living in urban context rather than rural and reservation context.
Right.
So I think you and I had a conversation about that a little bit.
Yeah.
That's part of what God did in my heart in 2018 was bring that back. And he allowed my wife and I to start a nonprofit called First Nations Gospel Storiers that uses a church planting movement type of missiology paired with Bible storying methodology,
right,
which is a phenomenal fit for Native people and cultures.
Right.
And so we see a day prayerfully when God's Spirit is moving throughout Native people in cities, reservations, anywhere you find Native communities, and the gospel is rapidly advancing. There's a multiplication movement of followers of Jesus in those communities, and they in turn make other disciples, and it spreads to all peoples, and yet another awakening visits our continent.
You know, when we talk about missiology and church, you know, church planting movements, missionaries often talk about bridges and barriers to the gospel. What are some of the bridges you see in Native American cultures?
That's a great question. Mm-hmm. Bridges from Christianity and the gospel to Native culture. Every tribe has a creation story.
Yeah.
If you spend any time in Native communities and tribal peoples, every tribe has their own creation story. God is the creator.
Yeah.
And that's a great starting point.
Mm-hmm.
And you recognize that God has revealed himself to us in something we call the Bible. God certainly reveals himself to us in nature, and we can look in nature and see lots of beauty and lots of the majesty of God, our creator, and everything he created. But he went a step further, as you and I know, and he revealed himself to us in his word. And he did that through a people that he chose to be his own, who themselves were a tribal people. There's yet another bridge.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of tribal similarities and cultures when you look at the tribal people of Israel and tribal people today among Native America. And you find ways to be able to present the gospel. I love the methodology of storying because you can share the stories of God's word that reflects those bridges and to do it in a method of communication that's very natural for Native people who we are an oral people. We retain our culture orally. We retain our history orally. We teach our languages for tribes that still have their language. We do that orally. And so to utilize Bible storying as a methodology for making disciples and discipling people more into a Jesus way of life, to do so through Bible storying, you tear down resistance to the gospel. You create receptivity to the gospel, increase that, and you are in that very methodology of sharing through storying. You're doing that in a way that that person that you're sharing with can turn around and repeat that very naturally. So you're communicating the gospel and training witnesses all at the same time.
You know, and we had Dr. Grant Lovejoy on the podcast a long time ago, maybe last year, and you know, storying methodology is something that works in every culture because people tell stories to each other. That's their thing, you know. And so, yeah, I love that that aspect of that. So glad that you're here. Now, here, I want to hear the story of, okay, because like you very clearly had a national ministry with multiple nations across North America, Canada, I don't know where else. How did you end up here in Oklahoma City at Glorietta Baptist Church?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
So, Chris, honestly, I was planning on turning 65 in 9 years, retiring from denominational life in Virginia, and then traveling the country as an apostolic itinerant missionary, going from Native community to Native community around the country, promoting, advocating for, and modeling Bible storying as a methodology.
Yeah.
This summer, I was at a Native conference up in Minnesota. Vern Charette was there as one of the speakers.
All right.
Vern's well-known here in Oklahoma and a longtime friend. So Vern came up to me and said, hey, Mark, he said, did you know our mutual friend Litt that McIntosh, that he's retired now at Glorietta, and they're looking for a pastor. I think you need to send your resume. And I said, no, I don't. But I'll be happy to get you some recommendations.
Right.
Well, God took me to the spiritual woodshed, and here's what he told me. He told me three things. He said, Mark, don't be too quick to dismiss my promptings. He said to me, your yes needs to always be on the table. And then he said to me, Chris, let me show you why my way is better than your way.
Mm.
That was an amazing thing. And from July until December 1st, when I started at Glorietta Baptist Church, God confirmed in so many different ways that this was how he wanted to work in the next stages of my life and ministry and serving him and his mission, and that this whole spiritual awakening vision wouldn't happen as I traveled the country, if that's what he chooses to do through us, that it will happen from the platform of a local church,
mm-hmm.
Glorietta Baptist Church specifically,
mm-hmm.
which I believe he's calling us to be a platform, if you will, from which will be launched, like the Antioch Church
mm-hmm.
in Acts, that we would be a platform from which God launches and sends missionaries who will go forth sharing the stories of God's word in cities just like Oklahoma City. We've got tens of thousands of Native people here in Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if most Native people live in cities, and they do, they live in cities like Minneapolis and Denver and Chicago and Europe
right.
and Los Angeles and Phoenix and so many other places like that.
Yeah.
Boy, it thrills my heart to think about what God might do here in Oklahoma City as a learning laboratory at Glorietta from a uh-huh. local church platform to be able to raise up and send out missionary teams of Bible storyers who would go to Minneapolis,
mm-hmm.
who would go to Denver, who would go to all of these cities and be able to do there what is culturally a great fit and go to those communities where more Native people are, with most Native people not being followers of Jesus, and seeing the gospel start to penetrate there, and this be a launching pad from Glorietta, from Oklahoma City, around the country.
Yeah.
And I believe that's what God has brought us here for.
Now, I know a little bit about Glorietta, just superficially, but I know it to be a flagship church among Native Americans in North America. It's been influential. But for those who don't know the history, can you tell a little bit about the backstory of Glorietta and where it is and all that?
So Glorietta is located down on the south side of Oklahoma City, right at Southwestern Avenue and 240.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the location. Started actually on Shields Avenue, I believe, was the original location.
Mm-hmm.
Started in 1961, I believe, constituted in 1965.
Mm-hmm.
And by God's grace, he's used Glorietta Baptist Church in the city to be a flagship among Southern Baptist Native work here in Oklahoma. This is a state that obviously has a large Native population, and by the grace of God, there is many Southern Baptist Native churches all across Oklahoma. And he used Glorietta as a church that has been able to bless many of those churches and has certainly been a peer church, but a church that has been able to be an encouragement for those other churches.
Mm-hmm.
And so, boy, I'm walking in some big footprints
yeah.
right now. I've got some people that have walked before me by the calling of God, by his providence, to be the pastor of Glorietta Baptist Church. And it was overwhelmingly humbling for me to realize that God was calling me to be the next pastor at Glorietta.
Mm-hmm.
I love Litt McIntosh. I love Emerson Falls. Mm-hmm. I love Eddie Lindsay. So many men that have been there and
yeah.
faithfully served, preaching the gospel, loving people, and reaching people not just here in Oklahoma City, but around the state and even around the country in Native America.
Yeah.
And those are the people that have led that church. And I'm privileged to be able to be there now.
That's awesome. We were talking about Native American in the urban context, and there are people with Native heritage, you know, there are tribalized people and non-tribalized. And what are some of the ways, are there different strategies for how people who maybe culturally are more in tune with their heritage versus Native Americans who are not? What are some ways you reach folks?
Those are great questions, uh-huh. too. You got cultural realities and methodologies all mixed in the same question there.
Mm-hmm.
So just like any other people group, Native people are very diverse. Of
mm-hmm.
the 6.2 million Native people that you have some that grew up on reservations and some that have never been to a reservation.
Mm-hmm.
You have some tribes that still utilize, speak their language, some right here in Oklahoma. churches that still worship in their tribal language. Mm-hmm. And some tribal people that have never learned their language, never knew their language, or any tribal speakers. I'm one of those. Mm-hmm. I grew up a member of the Mattapani tribe in Virginia. Mm-hmm. Mattapani and Pamunkey tribes in Virginia have the two oldest reservations in the country, established in 1654. Mm-hmm. But yet my tribe and tribes like mine on the East Coast and now across the country, we've lost our language. Mm-hmm. And so you have different generations of Native people relative to their exposure to that type of traditional culture. Mm-hmm. You have some people who were very traditional. Their generation or two moved away from that. Mm-hmm. And then a generation or two after, they begin to reacculturate. Yeah. And it doesn't look like it did originally. It's a culture is always morphing, always transitioning. And so it's a new Native culture. And so
like
that's
a pan-tribal kind of approach.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. yes. Mm-hmm. And so how do you traverse that with the gospel? Mm-hmm. Well, originally, Native people were open to the gospel. And I've got written documentation historically of where tribes literally sought out settlers to say, tell me about the white man's book to heaven. Mm. But through years of evangelization, much of which was well-intentioned, but much of which was also ill-informed in methodology, we had evangelization that was intermingled with assimilation efforts.
Right.
And for a Native person to be the recipient of that, what you ended up with was the understanding from a Native person that in order for me to become a follower of Jesus, I can't be a Native person anymore. Mm-hmm. And you get this confusion that begins to bubble up because our methodologies aren't well informed with cultural realities. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure we don't perpetuate that anymore. Because what you have now in Native culture where it was once open to the gospel, most traditional Native people will look at Christianity and see it as a white man's religion.
Right.
And they look at Jesus and see him as a white man's God. Mm-hmm. That's Satan's great ploy to keep Native communities in spiritual blindness and keep from experiencing all of God's grace and being utilized to be that vehicle, if you will, to usher in awakening.
As as I observed as an Oklahoman, I kind of sense that there is like a almost like a renaissance of Native culture in Oklahoma. You see so many like enterprises everywhere, but you also see commercials and people really expressing their identity. Has that created a bridge or an opening for you? What are some ways that Native American leaders, as they are ministering and evangelizing, what are some things they need to hear in terms of evangelization? Or maybe it's maybe not things they need to hear. Maybe it's things that we need to know about so we can prayerfully support those efforts.
Well, I appreciate that question mm-hmm. and that perspective. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that when you're doing Native missionary work, preaching the gospel among Native communities and peoples in the city, it comes with some innate challenges. Native people that come to the city usually are representing multiple tribes. Even if they're coming from tribal communities that still employ their language, when they get to the city, they're communicating in English. Mm-hmm. And so they don't go to the same grocery stores that might utilize their language, in some cases like a Latino culture. Native people, they disperse when they hit the city. Mm-hmm. And so as a missionary, as a church looking to reach Native people, well, you've got some, 30, 40,000 Native people here in the city among, 1.2 million
right.
In the whole metro. So where do you go and start looking for those folks? Where you move relationally through relational lines, mm-hmm. but you also use those bridges, as you mentioned, where you do have some restaurants, you have some things that where you have Native entities that are popping up in the city. And as a missionary, a pastor with missionary eyes, is that I'm teaching my people to think through missionary ways and look through missionary eyes. You look for places like that as starting points. Mm-hmm. You go to places like that in the city to find where Native community is, mm-hmm. and you begin one-on-one to tell people about Jesus.
Stuff like cultural events and
absolutely.
Like that.
There's powwows. Mm-hmm. There's trade shows. I mean, there's all kinds of things that you could do to get in Native communities. And then you go culturally relevant in your methodology and with compassion, and you go and you begin to share Christ in those ways as God gives you the ability. And so we're doing that at Glorietta right now. I'm laying a foundation, leading our folks, and our folks have embraced a call to begin to pray for their neighbors wherever they live. I'm inviting people to use a tool called Bless Every Home.
Yeah.
Right now, as of this morning, as of the last 3 or 4 weeks, I've got 14 folks at church that have now adopted about 520 homes that we're praying for every day that God will begin to soften the hearts of our immediate neighbors.
Yep.
And I'm praying that God's going to allow us at church to be able to train in Bible story and begin to pray for and serve our neighbors, native or non-native, and begin to invite them to Bible studies where we're sharing the stories of God's word, proclaiming the gospel, and that's going to become a lifestyle for us as a church. And that's where we're headed with that. And I'm excited about that. So as followers of Jesus in this current environment, he's called all of us to be disciple makers.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just need to look through his eyes. As he looked out on the crowds and he was moved with compassion, we need to have those eyes matched with that same heart, understanding the same mission, be it in a native context or any other.
Any other initiatives ahead that you're thinking of?
So we're excited. We're again, I'm kind of rolling all of this out a little bit at a time.
Yeah, you just kind of landed here not too long ago.
Started December 1st.
Yeah, okay.
I don't want to overwhelm anybody, but we're excited. We're going to go out to Western Oklahoma this summer. We spent some time this past week with Jay Mule, who works over there with association there.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to partner with Jay at Glorietta, and we're going to help him to strengthen churches that are still meeting over there and maybe even restart some churches that need to be restarted in those native communities there.
Yeah.
And we're excited about how God would have us do that. And we're going to use Bible story in that process.
Yeah.
We're also going to go up to Montana, to the northeastern part of the state. It's a reservation and a community and a church that I've specifically been working with First Nations Gospel Storiers for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And we're going to go up and do some Bible story, discipleship, and evangelism with them this summer. And the more we do that as missionary outreach from our church with our people, when we come back home, it'll be very natural to continue that Bible story and effort in our own communities here in the city.
So you still have that Glorietta as kind of a platform for, like every church.
Yes.
We have our Judea, Samaria, and uttermost parts, and you've got to take the gospel. And then across culturally, you know, not just like focused in on one people group. That's great.
We're actually going to do that this summer as well. So we're doing Vacation Bible School in June, and we're going to attach on the back end of Vacation Bible School, I think, a big block party type of event back in our parking lot. And our community immediately around our church isn't all native. In fact, it's a mixture of native, Hispanic, African-American, some Caucasian, and we're just going to reach anybody that will come, again, with the same methodology, showing them the love of Jesus, serving them as Christ would have us to serve them, all for the sake of advancing his mission.
Wow, very good. Thank you so much.
Man, I appreciate you, all that you do here in Oklahoma. We're excited to be a part of Oklahoma Baptist and how that helps us to advance the gospel.
Well, we're excited that you're here and you're bringing a lot to the family as we serve together. As we serve together to advance the gospel here in our state and beyond. God bless.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you. Mark Custolo, pastor of Glorietta Baptist Church in Oklahoma City. I want to thank you for joining us, and I thank you for joining us. If you enjoyed this podcast, we have more like it on our website at baptistmessenger.com, or you can search for us wherever you download podcasts. Just look for Baptist Messenger, and you'll find us. And while you're at our website, baptistmessenger.com, be sure to subscribe to the print edition of our newspaper. We always have a few things in there you can't find online, and we mail it free to your house, so there's no reason not to get it. Just go online and click on the subscribe button. Thanks, and God bless.
This Messenger Insight has been brought to you by the Cooperative Program and Oklahoma Baptists. Visit us at baptistmessenger.com or your preferred podcast platform. Oklahoma Baptists, advancing the gospel together.